I mean, can you even imagine what it would have been like to have been born in a manger?
Yeah, I know. I wonder whatever happened to baby Jesus.
Well, he grew up. You knew that, right?
Yeah. Wait. Are you telling me that baby Jesus from the Christmas story is the same guy as the adult walk on water Jesus?
Yes.
It's the same guy.
Yeah.
I just never put those two concepts together before. Well, I wonder whatever happened to him.
You know about the whole cross thing, right?
That's the same guy? Come on. Baby Jesus was the Jesus on the cross.
What? I mean, there was some time in between. But yeah, he was born and he grew up and taught people. And then he died on the cross. And then he rose again. And now he lives in our hearts.
Wait, that's the same guy. The Jesus that lives in our hearts. I guess sometimes, you know, I forget to put two and two together.
I guess.
It's almost as if we need to stop seeing Christmas as an isolated event and see it as more of a continuous story of our salvation.
Yeah, actually, that's exactly right.
Is this the same guy? Same guy. Same Jesus.
Merry Christmas and welcome to our online service of Calendar Bay Church. I'm Pastor John Intoff, and thanks so much for taking time out of your schedule to be with us here today. And we are moving ever closer to Christmas Day, and lots of great things are happening right now at Calendar Bay Church that you can be a part of. And so if you want to join in, well, first we have our Living Nativity. The last two shows are going tonight at 5 o'clock and 7 o'clock. Last time I checked, there were still some spots open for those services. And so you can come to our Living Nativity tonight about 5 o'clock or 7 o'clock. But you do have to go online to our webpage, calendarbaychurch.ca, and register there. Also preparing for our Christmas Eve service, which is taking place here at Calendar Bay Church. Two time slots to try to accommodate everyone. There is a 6 o'clock and a 7:30. And you do have to pre-register for those services, and so make sure that you get register for that so that you can get the spot that you would like. The first service may be full by now, but I'm not sure. But go to our webpage, calendarbaychurch.ca, and you can register there. I'm going to be taking a bit of a break over the Christmas holidays, and I won't be here for two Sundays, but we've got two great speakers lined up for you. Alex Kariuki is going to be sharing on December 27th in both the in-person and online service, and it's the same on January 3rd, where we have Andrew White, who is actually going to be coming and in the in-person is going to be leading our worship as well and speaking. And so that's on January 3rd. If you would like to go to the in-person services for those services, all you have to do is go to our webpage, calendarbaychurch.ca, and pre-register for those services. And we would love to see you. Well, we also have two different ways that you can give to the ministries of Calendar Bay Church. One is by going online, and you can safely and securely give to our ministry just by going to our webpage, calendarbaychurch.ca, or the other way is by going to mailing your gift in, and you can do that by sending it to our mailing address, which is Box 218, Calendar, Ontario, P0H1H0. Again, that's Calendar Bay Church, Box 218, Calendar, Ontario, P0H1H0. Well, throughout the Christmas season, we've taken the time to light our Advent wreath. And so far, we have lit the candle of hope, because in Jesus Christ, we have hope, that in Jesus Christ, we have peace, and we have joy. And today, we want to talk about the love that we have in Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible talks about that God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son. And it's because of the love of our Heavenly Father, given in the gift of Jesus Christ, that we truly find life everlasting. And so as we light today the candle of love, let's give our appreciation to God for all that He has shown us through His love. And let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the great love of Jesus. Your word says that no greater love hath anyone that He lay down His life for His friends. And that's exactly what You did for us. And that the word of God says that You loved us so much that You sent Your Son to die for us so that we could have everlasting life. So thank You, Father, for the love of Christ. And as we light this candle, we say thank You that You have loved us so much that we can be called the children of God. Amen. Let's light the candle together. Well, we want to worship and sing to the Lord, and so let's sing together. Oh, come all ye faithful, and let's just adore His name together. Over the Christmas season, we have been looking into the Word of God, talking about the gifts of the Magi, and that they you know, the Magi or the wise men, when they came, it said that they were seeking out a king, he who was born king of the Jews. And so I thought it'd be kind of fun as we started today to have what I'm calling a king test. And so I'm going to post a picture. I'm going to put it up right over here. And you can, I want you to play along at home. You know, if you're watching with some people in your household, you can have a competition between your family to see who can guess. Now, this is either a person whose name is actually King, or they are a person whose nickname is the King. Okay, or King. So I'm going to put it up. I want you to yell at the TV or the computer or your phone, and if you get the right answer, and you keep track of how many you get right, I'm trusting that you're going to be honest on this. Okay, here we go. First one. Ta-da! Do you know who it is? Give you a couple seconds. Okay, so you've yelled at it enough. That is LeBron, or also known as King James. So that's number one. Did you get it right? Okay, right. Check it off on a piece of paper or something like that, or maybe keep score in your household. Here's the second one. Oh, that one should be simple. I know if Jan, you're watching, you got that one right away. Okay, that is Elvis Presley, known as the King of Rock and Roll. I know Little Richard always thought that that was wrong because he thought that he was the king. But so that's number two. Next one. Boom. Oh, kids, you should have got that one quickly. Did you get it? Okay, that is Simba, the Lion King. All right, next one. Here we go. You ready? Get ready to yell at the TV. Boom. Ooh, that one might have been a little harder. Did you get it? Social reformer from the States. Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King. And the very quote, I have a dream, you know, very quotable. Died for his cause. Martin Luther King. Okay, here we go. Next one. Oh, this one might be hard. Do you want a hint? Did you get it? Might have seen it on some Canadian money. That's your hint. Canadian. Canadian politics. William Lyon Mackenzie King. One of our prime ministers in Canada. So did you get that one? All right. Next one. Well, those of us who live in Callander, we should know this one because it was just built up the road just a few months ago. Yep, that is the Burger King. And probably some of us have been eating a few too many Whoppers. All right, here we go. Next one. Oh, ooh, I like this one. Oh, do you know who that is? The guitar is the key on the whole thing. Yeah, that is B.B. King, also known as King of Blues. And the next one, oh, this is the hardest one. This is probably the hardest one. And see whether or not you can pull this out. I don't think many are going to get this one. Ooh, who is that? You're probably thinking, oh, it's somebody in the royal family. It's somebody in the royal family. It is a royal family, but it may not be the royal family you're used to. I had to go kind of into my background. That is King William Alexander, King of the Netherlands. So if you got that one right, that's worth five. If you pulled that out of the hat, there you go. So there you go. So count up your scores. See who is the winner in your household if you pulled that out. Well, we're focusing our attention on the fact that Jesus was a king. And the passage of scripture that we've been looking at is Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. And this is what it says. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And so just to kind of recap where we've come from, there were three valuable gifts that were given. Frankincense was a representation of the fact that Jesus was our high priest. And then last week we talked about that myrrh and how myrrh represented the fact that Jesus is our sacrificial lamb. And today we want to look at the fact of that gold really picks up on it's the gift of royalty. And so it picks up on the kingship of Christ, that Jesus was born to be the king. And so gold is a very valuable commodity and often was associated during this time frame with royalty. And Jesus is declared the king. I want you to look at a passage of scripture from 1 Timothy 6:15. And this is what it says. Which God will bring about in his own time, God the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. It reminds me of the Hallelujah chorus. You know, King of kings forever and the Lord of lords. And when Paul writes this statement to Timothy, he is making probably about as strong a statement about the kingship of Christ that could be, that he is not just a king, he's the king above all kings. And he's not just a Lord. No, he's the Lord over all. And in this, there probably could not be any more of a stronger way of stating this truth than what Paul has written here. You know, sometimes somebody will make a very strong statement. And Paul, in this passage of scripture, makes an incredibly strong statement about the kingship of Jesus, that he is king above all kings, Lord over all lords. And so it's a very strong statement, the king over all kings. And so oftentimes when you're dealing with a king, you know, kings have some kingly expectations placed upon them. Most of the time, kings are come from kind of born into wealth. So they are born rich. It's just a part of royalty. And that's why gold is associated with them, because they were the ones that had wealth. Oftentimes kings would be born in places of significance, you know, that when you're talking about a king, you know, probably everybody would know about it, and they would have been born in the palace and presented, you know, kind of Lion King, you know, that when you are talking a king born in a palace and also born with influence, that they, from the get-go, from the start, they have influence, and they are in, you know, oftentimes when a child is born that's in royalty, you know that they are in line to be the king. And so there's that succession that's going to take place, and they are born already with influence and have that from the beginning. But in Jesus's case, when God sends the King of kings and the Lord of lords to reside here on this planet, he doesn't send him to a place of wealth. He doesn't send him to a palace to be born. He doesn't send him with great influence. No, he has very atypical beginnings. And so when God sends the king to the earth, he's born in adverse circumstances. You know, Jesus was born in a stable. He was born on the run. Not so much he was born on the run, but he was born in a displaced situation. That he was, you know, they were sent there because of the census. And so here he is born in a stable. He's also born in poverty, that there is really no money flowing freely. And that's why the gifts are so significant, because they were of great value as they ended up, you know, in his life being on the run. And so after they leave Bethlehem, where do they go? Well, they go to Egypt, and they needed to have resources in order to be able to do that. And so God provided those resources through the wise men. But they also gave these gifts that had symbolic meaning behind them. And so here we look at Jesus's life. He is not typical as far as a king would go. And even the fact that he was raised in a place called Nazareth, one of his disciples said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" That it was not a place where really well-known or significant people came from. They didn't come from there. And that's where Jesus was raised. And so here we have these atypical beginnings. And then we look at Jesus's life and his death, and we see that, again, he is not your typical king. When Jesus comes as the King of Glory to this planet, he would befriend prostitutes, lepers, and tax collectors. Jesus hung out with people. The religious people always accused him of hanging out with sinners. That's what he did. He hung out with sinners. And so here we have Jesus, the King, who goes to places and hangs out with people that religious people were like, don't know if that's the right crowd to be hanging around with. But yet Jesus, the King, hung out with these individuals. He would choose, you know, for his inner circle, his closest people, he would choose people who were uneducated fishermen. He would choose religious zealots, you know, kind of the people that were a little bit crazy. You know, he was a little bit, you know, fanatical about his way that he thought things were going to unfold. He also chose a tax collector. Again, somebody that was generally disliked in society was who he chose. And so here Jesus, he hangs out with the wrong crowd. His inner circle were people that were not highly esteemed. They were different. They were uneducated. And so this is who Jesus, the King, chooses. Jesus, as the king, also had problems with the religious people at the time. The people who you would think would be his closest associates and closest allies, he ends up often chafing and having issues with them. And so this is, who is this King of Glory? He's often doing what would seem to be not the right thing. No one expected from this king. Those who would be cheering for his arrival would be the outcasts, the overlooked, and even the immoral ones. That they were the ones who were the most appreciative of his ministry. No one would have expected that a king would model servanthood by washing his disciples' feet. Kings don't serve people, they are served. But when Jesus comes as the king, he acts differently and he lives differently, and he wants to give people a different view of what kingship is all about. No one expected a king to stand trial for crimes that he did not commit. So Jesus comes to the earth and he is put on trial for things that he didn't even do. No one expected that, or ever would have imagined, that an innocent king would be beaten, whipped, scourged, stripped naked, to hang on an instrument of torture known as the cross, dying a death that a criminal deserved to die. This is what our king did. He was beaten, he was killed, he was tortured. That's what our king did. No one would have expected that And they would have never imagined that this king hanging on a cross as the creator in the flesh, as the creation, the people mocked him and spit on him. And so Jesus, the king, allowed these things to happen, that his own creation as the creator of everything mocked him and spit on him. That this king, while he was suffering, would look up to heaven and pray for mercy for those who were torturing him when he said, "Father, please forgive them because they don't even know what they're doing." And so Jesus, the king, as he's dying on the cross, offers forgiveness and mercy to the people who are killing him, saying that they just don't understand what they're doing. No one would have ever expected the king to die a shameful death in front of people mocking him. That Jesus, the king, died while the world watched. No one would have expected, and when he breathed his last, that the sky would go dark and the earth would shake and the world would lose hope as they buried a dead king in a borrowed grave. No one would have expected that 3 days later, when some women went to check on the tomb, that the stone would be rolled away. This king was risen from the dead and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Nothing about how Jesus came to this earth, nothing about the way that Jesus lived his life here on earth, nothing in the way that he gave up his life seems typical as far as a king goes, because Jesus was a king like no other. There has never, ever been a king who came to this earth and was born in such strange circumstances, lived his life in servanthood and love and compassion for those who needed to have compassion, and then gave up his life freely and willingly for you and for me. You know, there are kind of three responses that we can have to the kingship of Christ. And they're interspersed throughout Scripture. The first was King Herod. You know, most of us know some things about King Herod, but King Herod was on the throne in Jerusalem. And so he had been declared king in this area. And so the idea of another king coming and taking his throne was very distressing to him. And that's why he slaughtered children 2 years and under, in an attempt to try to keep his kingdom and his throne secure. And many of us are like King Herod. You know, we are very opposed to someone else being a king in our lives. And so we have declared ourselves to be king, that we're interested in our cares, our concerns, our needs, and just living generally. Why would I want to live my life, and actually almost even in opposition of having anybody else be in control of our lives? And so we say, I'm going to do my own thing, and I don't need to have any other king in my life, because I am the master of my own destiny. I am the one who's in control. I'm the one who's calling the shots. And so sometimes when we're confronted with this king, we would say, not interested in another king. I got one on the throne and it's me. And many of us have put ourselves on the throne. And so we just say to this king, no, not interested, not interested at all. A second response that people often have is the religious leaders. You know, the religious leaders in Jesus' time, you would have thought that they, because they were actually waiting for a Messiah to come. They were, knew he was coming. They were waiting for it to happen. But when it happened, it didn't happen in the way that they thought. And so what they decided to do was is that they just decided to keep doing their normal religious things, the way that they had always done it before. They got caught up in their religious rituals and just were doing things. And so Jesus came and said, I have come to bring you life and to bring it abundantly. You know, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so Jesus came in and brought them a new way to experience God. And they said, no, I think we'll just keep doing things the way that we've done it before. You know, and many of us are like that today. God is calling us to a new experience with Him. The Word of God says that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. And He is calling us to be a part of His kingdom. Jesus said that His kingdom is here and now, and it lives inside of us. He wants His kingdom, His reign, because He is the King above all kings and the Lord of all lords. And He wants to be on the throne of your life. But many of us would rather just keep, doing the things that we're doing. You know, I'll just get caught up in my religious behaviors, the things that I've always done. It's actually interesting that some of the most scathing comments that Jesus ever made in His life and ministry was to those that were religious. It's kind of disappointing because there is the potential, the tendency, for religious people to just do religious behavior and to have it become ritual instead of a life-giving relationship. And Jesus comes and His kingship is different. It is not the way that you normally would think it would go. And Jesus calls to each one of us to step out of our meaningless rituals that we do and to have a living, thriving relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Which leads us to the third response, which is the story of the wise men, which we've been looking at. When Jesus was born, the wise men sought Him out, and they found Him, and they bowed down, and they worshipped Him. And that, my friends, is the correct response to when we are confronted with this king who is not like any other king. A king born in adverse circumstances and presented a way of living that was so contrary to anything that was being presented by any religious person. And then He died and was raised to life, so that we could have our sins forgiven and that we can be in a relationship with Him. And when the wise men were confronted with that, they got down on their knees and they worshiped Him. I hope and pray that in this Christmas season, we would not be like King Herod, who was more interested in running and ruling his life, or the religious people who were just going through the motions. And even as we go through Christmas, oftentimes, we go to our regular Christmas things and we do our rituals. And Jesus says, I'm not here for you to have religious rituals. I am here so that you can be in a living relationship with Me. And I pray that we would be like the wise men and that we would bow down and worship him and put him first place in all things. I want us to conclude with a song. This is a song by Down Here, and it is this truth so clear. The song is called How Many Kings. He talks about how many kings lay down their lives for you and for me. There was only one who did that, and that was Jesus. And so as you watch this song, let the words speak to your heart. And then we're going to come back and we're going to give you one final challenge. Let's watch this song together.
Torn all apart.
hope that song spoke to you. How many kings would do this? There's only one, and that was Jesus. And that brings me to my final challenge to you this morning. You know, the wise men, when they bowed down and worshiped, they brought a gift. And we've looked at those different gifts and the symbols that were behind those gifts. But Jesus calls each one of us to bring a gift to him. And that gift is our hearts, which is a representation of our lives. And I pray that this morning we would do that, that we would give our hearts to him. Because it is the only appropriate response, as our wise men did in our story. They found the king, they bowed down and worshiped, and they presented a gift to him. And the gift that we can give to him is the gift of our hearts and our lives. And so I would encourage you, don't miss the most significant gift this Christmas. And that gift is your life. Because God gave us the indescribable gift of Jesus, a king like no other. And let's give our lives to him. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this King, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords forever and ever. That you were a King like no other. And you showed us a way to live that is like no other. That you called us to give our lives to other people, to serve others. And you modeled it by giving your own life so that we could be in a right relationship with you. And Father, we thank you that we can give our lives to you. And that is our appropriate act of worship, the giving of ourselves and our lives to you. And I pray, Father, that wherever anyone is listening to this, that, Father, they would just take a moment right now and give their lives to you. It is our Christmas act of worship. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I hope you have a very wonderful Christmas and that you would be blessed and encouraged during these strange days. But the great thing is that God is not limited by this in any way, shape, or form. And so we can experience his presence fully and completely. If you haven't registered for the Living Nativity going on tonight, please do that. Or the Christmas Eve service that is taking place at 6 and 7:30. Hope to see you there. If not, I pray that you would have a wonderful Christmas break, and we'll see you in January. God bless you. How many lords have a